Again, it is a pleasure to see each and every one of you here this morning. We are going to embark on something that I believe needs to be done on at least a fairly regular basis. It's been about 6 years since we've done something like this. It is to discuss over the course of about the next 2 months, actually, we'll have a few breaks here and there, but what I refer to is the fundamentals of the faith. And the reason that I believe these are good is because we all need reminders. Some people will say, well, I know that, and I've known that for a long time. Well, so have I. But it's also good for us to reaffirm some of the things that we have known for a long time and believed for a long time. It is also true that as we go through changes in the congregation, that we realize that there may be some people who simply have never been taught some of these truths. They have never heard these things before. And so what I want to do over the course of the next 2 months or so, and we're going to have a break here and there, and to kind of break, if you will, kind of the monotony in a sense, of the fundamentals of the faith, is do about 12 lessons. And don't get me going, I might find 13 and 14. But we do have 12 that I want us to seriously consider. And when I say lessons, these are going to have major points, and sometimes they're going to be connected, and sometimes they're not going to be connected. But we need to talk about the basics of Christianity. I used to refer to this as C-spot run Christianity because it reminded me of my days in school when, if you don't know what C-spot run is, it was the old Basil readers of Dick and Jane, Fun with Dick and Jane. They had a dog named Spot. And it was very basic. You might want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 1. Those of you who know me and have heard me preach over the years are going to jump right to verses 14, 15, and 16. I can guarantee you know me well enough to know that. And that's why we want to start this particular lesson, because I think it's incredibly important for us to start this whole series based upon one of the most fundamental things that we have, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God that leads man to salvation. That's where we're going. It's in the gospel that we learn what we must do to be saved. It's within the gospel of Jesus Christ that tells us not just how to become a Christian, but to remain a Christian, live a faithful life in service to Him. Beginning in verse 14, Paul writes there, I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. There are five major points, and I know that's kind of a violation of preaching, but we have five major points this morning that we want to discuss. Number one, Paul felt a great sense of indebtedness. Number two, Paul took the Great Commission very seriously. Number three, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And number four, the Scriptures are all sufficient and all authoritative. And number five, social gospels, as what we used to refer to them as feel-good messages, will not save anybody's soul. It requires the gospel of Jesus Christ to do that. Folks, too many people today seem not to share Paul's sense of indebtedness to preach and teach the whole truth. The Great Commission has become, in many places, the dearly departed commission because people are not preaching and teaching it anymore. Too many do not understand that when we read Matthew 28 and verse 19 and it says, go ye, it means go me. And to that end, we want to look at our first point. Paul felt this great sense of indebtedness to all of mankind. I am debtor, he says, both to the Greek and the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. And when you stop and think about that, wasn't Paul basically saying here that he was indebted to everybody? In that day and age, you had basically two classifications of people, the Greeks and those that they considered barbarians. Those who were considered to be wise in this world and those who were not so wise in this world. Paul must have felt a sense of indebtedness because of his past hatred for Christ and the church. In Acts chapter 7, beginning in verse 70 and going through chapter 8 and verse 1, we learn there that Saul of Tarsus aided in the stoning of Stephen, literally consenting to his death. That is the kind of hatred that Saul of Tarsus, later to be recognized as the great apostle Paul, had toward Christians. You have to hate somebody a lot to consent to their death. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, just two verses later, says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. And it really doesn't stop there. Notice Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. It says there, then Saul, still breathing threatenings and murder. That's the New King James rendering. I believe the King James renders it slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He wanted them dead. That's how much he hated Christianity. That's how much he despised Christians. And in this case, in most cases, at this day and age, those who would leave Judaism and go to Christianity. That's a hatred. In Acts chapter 22, verses 3 through 4, we learn of Paul's Jewish pedigree and his zeal for God. Now listen, and how in his mind's eye, he thought he was doing right. He said, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. He did not care who they were. He hated them to the point that many of them died because of his persecution. So when you look at some of these things, and you look at passages like Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13, where Paul admitted, I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Wasted it, he would say in the King James rendering of that. It's no wonder that the Apostle Paul felt a great sense of indebtedness because of what he had done to Christians in days gone by. So much so that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 13, Paul would write these words, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. Paul felt this great sense of indebtedness because of what he had done to Christians and because of what Christ had done for him. He would say or write in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that by the grace of God I am what I am. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. The Apostle Paul, of all the people in the world, because he even wrote to Timothy and said that he considered himself to be chief among sinners, would have understood what it meant to have a sense of indebtedness to repay for all the damage and destruction and death that he had brought upon people. Oh, he felt that deeply. Number two point, Paul was ready to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see that in verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Paul took his responsibility seriously. Listen to what he says. So as much as in me is. When I read that, what goes through my mind is the kind of mindset that would say, with every ounce of my being, I'm ready to preach the gospel. With every strand of fiber within me, I'm ready to bring to you this great gospel, the promise of hope and eternal life, the news of the salvation that could be in Christ Jesus. I don't know how else to say this, but I think Paul was trying to get across the idea, I owe it to you, and I am ready to expend everything I've got to get the gospel message out. If it causes me to burn the candle at both ends, I'll burn the candle at both ends. If it causes me to run myself ragged, I'm going to run myself ragged because I know how serious it is to preach the gospel of Christ. Folks, Paul not only practiced what he preached, folks, he also charged others to do the same thing, didn't he? 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 2. Now, I ask the question today, because it's relevant today, are we just as committed to teaching others the whole counsel of God, the gospel, which is, by the way, the good news that Jesus came into this world, lived among men, died on the cross for our sins, and by the power of God the Father was raised up to sit with Him at the right hand of God? Are we just as committed to telling people you can be saved, you can have eternal life? It's at your fingertips. Are we as enthusiastic about paying on that debt that we owe our Lord as Paul was? And I guess the question we need to ask, if not, why not? Number three. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I don't know how else to say it, but we must never, ever be ashamed of the gospel because it's a gospel that brings the hope of eternal salvation. Remember what he said there? He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. It leads man to a saved relationship with God. Folks, we should never be ashamed of our Lord. Folks, Jesus is the only means to save our souls. Remember what Peter said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. In other words, what Peter was saying, that there was one and only one person that salvation resides in, and it is Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 6, remember what Jesus said there about himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Dennis brought a good lesson Wednesday night in the devotional, and he emphasized the part of that was the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am that way. Literally, it comes from a Greek word meaning highway, an avenue, a way to get there. And I am the life. Acts chapter 17, verse 31 says that God will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has ordained. In context, you can't miss it. That's Jesus Christ. Paul's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we can't be either. We should never be ashamed to own our Lord. He is the Christ. He is the promised Messiah. He is the Lord. Number four, Paul fully preached the gospel because it is all sufficient. Folks, we will not spend a lot of time examining Scripture after Scripture to make our point here. I think really two will be sufficient. But one of the things that we do want to emphasize here, that we will emphasize again in another lesson down the line, is the idea that there is one word from God and only one word from God. It is all sufficient to save us. We're all aware of 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. And from a child, Paul would write to Timothy, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now listen, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Folks, if we only had one passage in the entire Bible that told us about the all-sufficiency of the gospel, and this was it, you wouldn't need anything else. The old expression, Paul said a mouthful, didn't he? He said a lot here. He talked here about the Scriptures that were able to make us wise unto salvation. The salvation in Jesus Christ. And that those Scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. Literally, God breathed these two, His inspired writers. Both Old and New Testament alike. And that it's profitable for doctrine. That means teaching. It's profitable for reproof and for correction and instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, the person of God, can be what? Complete. Thoroughly furnished unto every good work. They are all sufficient. But we can go to one more, which is just as powerful, that is shorter. That's 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Peter tells us that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And he's talking about through the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Folks, if he's given us everything to live a life that is pleasing in his sight, he's already given. There's nothing left to give. We don't need anything else. So Paul fully preached the gospel because it is all sufficient. Aren't you thankful these points have been short? I told you there are five of them. Number five and final point, we'll spend the rest of our time here. Paul did not preach a social gospel. He did not preach feel-good messages. Now that does not mean that he did not preach at times very positive and uplifting things. He did. In fact, when you stop and think about it, even if you look at a particular thing that you could think in terms of being negative, because the source is the Holy Spirit given to these people, in reality, it's a very positive thing in a lot of ways. But you know, sadly, in recent years, there has been a great push by some, even within the church of our Lord, to preach a social gospel. A style of preaching, if we dare call it preaching at all, has developed that will not save anyone from anything because they won't take a stand for anything. And as a result of that, we've seen a rise, if you will, in what we refer to as community churches out there. When you go there, I've actually had people come back after they'd gone to some of these things, and they basically said, you know what, you can go there and believe anything you want to, and you're okay. You can go there and you'll never be offended by anything. You'll never have your feelings hurt. It'll never prick your conscience and make you think because everything is good and okay. Well, folks, that's not going to save people. We need to understand that we are people who are in sin. And I'm talking about humanity, the race of human beings. We are in sin because we transgress God's laws. And we need to help everybody, ourselves included, to understand that when I transgress God's laws and I'm in a lost condition, I need to learn what I'm doing. Remember what Paul said? I did it in ignorance, or ignorantly and in unbelief. Paul educated himself. He came to the knowledge of the truth and he applied that to himself. And we need to do the same thing with ourselves and with our fellow man, with our next door neighbors, with our co-workers, and on that list could go. Just the people we meet on a day-to-day basis. That they're lost and they need to hear the truth, and sometimes that truth may not be the most pleasant thing they want to hear. I've told you this before, and I'll say it again over the years, I'm sure, that there have been a number of things that I have studied on. I believe that I held the truth on them until somebody showed me I was wrong. And I was thankful that they showed me that I was wrong, because I didn't want to live in error on those things. As the old expression goes, I flopped like a fish on the beach. Why? It wasn't pleasant. It wasn't easy. Sometimes it took me a while. That, you know, my head's kind of thick sometimes. I'm a little stubborn about some things sometimes. But it took me a while. I didn't get to believing what I believed overnight. So what it took was some time for me to work through things and study through things and realize that a position that I held was not true. It wasn't a fun thing. It wasn't a fun thing to have the preacher get up there and tell me that I'm in sin. But you know what? In the end analysis, I'm glad he did. Folks, these things that we refer to today as the social gospel, we've all heard it before, is designed to help us meet our social needs in life. But that's not what the Bible is written for. The Bible wasn't designed to teach us how to conduct ourselves at a banquet, or whatever your social issue may happen to be. Seldom will these people ever preach from the Scriptures anything that's going to convict us of our sins, and it is that very sin that I need to get out of. Their message is a better felt than told religion. In other words, what they teach cannot be really supported by the Scriptures with a book, chapter, and verse. But it's something you just feel in your heart. But friends, this kind of so-called gospel will not save a soul from death that James talked about in James chapter 5 and verse 20. This kind of gospel, this kind of preaching will not tell somebody that they are in sin. But folks, if they don't know they're in sin, they'll never try to get out of that sin. If they don't understand that they're not in compliance with God's will, if they're not being obedient to God, then they'll never want to change. Folks, this most certainly is not the kind of gospel that Paul was proud to proclaim. This was not the kind of gospel that Paul went out through all the regions of his missionary tours and told them about how to be socially acceptable with everybody and left them feeling nothing but good and that they were never in sin. Folks, like Paul, we need to have that sense of indebtedness to mankind, to do our part to save souls. Paul was interested and loved his fellow man. Like Paul, we need to be ready to preach the gospel and teach that gospel to others. And like Paul, we must never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here's our challenge. As we enter into this series, we'll reflect back on several of these things on passages like Romans chapter 1, 14 through 16. But we'll bring in a lot of other passages on a lot of different subjects that sometimes may be a little difficult for us to wrestle with. In some cases, they'll reinforce what we've known and believed all along. But the challenge is for us to make application and appreciate that what God gave us in its totality, in its completeness, was designed for our good. God never gave a commandment to man that was not for man's well-being or his good. Let's challenge ourselves. If there's anyone here who's never been obedient to the gospel call, we ask a simple question, why not? If you've not put your Lord and Savior on in baptism, if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God because you've heard enough of the gospel taught to you that you know that Jesus is in fact the Son of God, if you're ready to repent of your sins, if you're ready to confess Christ before men, then the question is, why haven't you been baptized? Why aren't you ready to make that commitment? And if there's anything that we can say or do, if there's anything that we can help you out with to help you understand the necessity of being baptized to have your sins washed away, we want to be there for you. But if you're ready to do that now, we encourage you to do it right now, not to put it off. Maybe it's the case that you're a child of God. Some of the fundamentals of the faith you've kind of let slip a little bit. We all can. It's easy to do. But you're ready to come back to God and come back to Him on His terms? We ask a simple question, why not right now? If you need to respond to the invitation, please, whatever it may be. If we can help out in any way, let us know as we stand and sing this song.